Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm an alcoholic. Hi. I want to thank Damien for asking me to come down and participate in my sobriety. I have a sobriety date of August 8th of 2009. I have a sponsor. Her name is Kim, and I have a home group, and it's the Bellflower Big Book group in Bellflower. And I am so grateful for those things today. I'm so grateful for my friends today coming down here to San Diego. And, you know, I haven't always had quality friends like I do today. And I guess what it was like. I grew up in Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh, in a small town where everybody knows everybody. And I grew up in a home that was full of chaos and craziness, and with an alcoholic mother and father. And I know today that that doesn't make me alcoholic, but it was, you know, pretty normal. Alcohol was around me all the time. And, you know, I remember growing up, I was really full of fear. I was deathly afraid of everyone and everything, and I was always hiding in the bathroom, in the bathtub, and I would just hide in there in the dark, and I didn't want to see anybody, and I didn't know what it was. I was just full of anxiety, and I didn't know that it was fear until, you know, I did my 12 steps and did an inventory. But I just was just, I always felt different and just full of just, I was just terrified of everything. And so growing up, when I was 13, I was hanging out with some friends, and we lived, you know, in foreign country. And so we were out on the farm, and we drank moonshine. That was my first drink. And it was, you know, all I remember from that night was just, you know, they were just like, take this. And I didn't say no. And it, you know, and it made me feel like all of those terrifying fears just kind of like lifted, and I was okay. And, you know, I didn't know it then, but I chased that. I chased that of not caring if I went home and my dad was going to be there and be drunk, or, you know, my mom was going to be crazy. Like, I just didn't care. And so I chased that drink. And, of course, at 13, you're not going to find a drink every day. But anytime I could, I took that drink. And so, you know, growing up in that home, my mom started drinking more and more. The older I got, the more she drank. And when I was in high school, we would go into her bedroom and find her passed out, and I didn't know if she was dead or alive. And it was, you know, it was just terrifying. I just wanted to disappear. I hated everything. And my drinking was getting heavier and heavier. And when I graduated high school, I just decided, my brother had lived out in California, and he said, hey, you know, come on out, you know. And I thought, okay, that was my first geographic, you know, get away from there. But I came here, and here I was, you know, and I started drinking every day. I just became a daily drinker because I could, you know, and didn't want to deal with anything in my life. I didn't want to deal with, you know, my mom being scared that she was going to, you know, just die one day, or however, take on responsibilities of, you know, being a grown up. I didn't care for anything. And so I, you know, I just drank, you know, daily and just partied and had fun and just had a great time, I guess, but not getting much done. And so, you know, it just kept getting worse and worse. And my alcoholism progressed pretty quickly. And I was drinking in the morning, you know, by the time I was 20. And I was calling back home, and something was happening back home. You know, my mom started sounding different, you know, and she was speaking of AA, you know, it was changing her life, but I didn't really put two and two together. But she was, something was definitely different with her. I couldn't see her, but I could hear it in her voice. And same thing with my brother. You know, I grew up with four brothers, you know, and they're all alcoholics. And I can say that today because they're all sober and Alcoholics Anonymous. But at the time, you know, my brothers were flatlining on the tables, you know, and winding up in Detroit when they were supposed to be, you know, in Pennsylvania. It was just craziness. And I was talking to them on the phone, and they were changing too, you know. But my alcoholism was just progressing. And at the time, we had a girl that was living with us, my brother's girlfriend, and she overdosed in our house. And it was, the only reason I say that is because, like, normal people would probably quit drinking and, you know, doing the things that they're doing because that had happened. But for me, it was like I was off and running, and I was drinking vodka, you know, in the morning. I couldn't get through the night without the shakes and my legs, you know, hitting the bed. And it was bad. It was really bad. And I always worked as a cocktail waitress or a bartender because, you know, that was the best job, I thought. And I was the kind of cocktail waitress that brought the vodka and the Gatorade bottle to work when I got all my drinks for free. You know, I was just, that's just my alcoholism, you know. And so what happened was it was not working really, you know, that well for me. I was drinking to get rid of all of the pain and the anxiety and all those feelings, but they were still there in my head, and I couldn't pass out. I couldn't get it out of my head, and so I kept drinking heavier and heavier and getting fired from jobs, and people were figuring me out. For a long time, I was able to go to work and have the drink in the bathroom, hiding them in the bathroom stalls. I was able to do that for a long time, but then they started figuring me out and questioning me about my alcoholism, and I run, you know, and so I ran, you know, and I quit my jobs, and I was just going crazy. I was winding up in hospitals and detoxes and you know, psych wards, and it was just a crazy mess. And so what happened is that I was in the hospital twice after 3 days, and my friend came in, and she sat beside me, and she looked at me in the eyes, and she said, "Sarah, you know what, we love you very much, and, you know, we're going to love you, but we're not going to love you to death. So either you choose to go to a detox and get some help, or, you know, we're going to have to, like, let you out of our life. We're going to have to let you go for you to figure it out yourself, you know?" And so I don't know what it was at that moment. I just was out of answers. I was out of answers. And so I chose to call a detox. I didn't even want to go, you know, but I didn't have anywhere to live. The guy that my fiance had kicked me out, and I didn't have a job. I had nowhere, and my friends didn't want to be around me. And so I went to the detox, and I spent the 7 days there, and while I was in there, you know, I always had a God in my life. I always had a God in my life, but I never went to him. You know, it was only for, like, get me out of this, or, you know, please don't make me, like, hurt anymore, you know, from my hangovers and detoxing. And so while I was in there, you know, I hit my knees one night, and I just said, just please, can you give me the willingness to maybe try this thing, you know? And the next day, a girl came in on a panel, and she told her story, which wasn't the same as my story, but I could relate to her anxiety and fear and the craziness that she lived, and she was beautiful. I looked at her, and she was beautiful, and she was living this life, and she was younger than me, and I couldn't believe it. And I was just like, okay, well, you know, maybe if she does it, maybe there's something here. And, you know, talking to my mom on the phone, and she was sober. And my mom, when I left Pennsylvania, she was running her car into houses, you know, and you know, just all these things. And I said, all right, you know, I'm going to give this thing a try, like a real honest try. And so she told me to call her, and I called her the next day, and she told me to call her every day. And things just started to, you know, fall into place. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, you know. And after 25 days, you know, of sobriety, I was pregnant, you know. I got pregnant, and I was like, okay, all right, you know, how are we going to do this now? And to be honest, like, I thought, I'll just get through this pregnancy, I'll have this baby, and then I can drink again, you know, knowing very well that drinking, you know, didn't work for me. I just thought, I can't do life without drinking, you know. And but at a day at a time, I started to do this program because I didn't want to drink when I was pregnant. And it started to change my life. And the job that I got fired from asked me to come back, and you know, that was a miracle. Like, those are the things that I started seeing in my life that was changing, that I could see Alcoholics Anonymous working. Like, if I was doing the steps and doing these things, slowly things started to work for me. And yeah, I did all of my steps, and you know, at 9 months of sobriety, I had my daughter, who has changed my life completely. And I owe all of it to Alcoholics Anonymous. My life is so good today, and it's not that it's been easy. I've lost a lot of people in sobriety. I've lost a lot of friends, a lot. I've walked through a lot of really tough times, and but I've done everything sober, you know, and I know that I don't have to do anything in here alone, ever. I have, you know, my sponsor, I call, you know, I try to call on a day-to-day basis, and I have friends in this program that are, like I said, quality friends. You know, before it was like the quantity of friends and who, you know, who I could get whatever I wanted from. But today I have quality friends who are there for me no matter what, and I'm so grateful for it. And the steps have changed my life. I've gotten, You know, I am a manager of that place that they asked me to come back to. You know, I manage that place, and it's a pretty amazing experience to walk through that. And in 4 years of sobriety, you know, I'm just really grateful for the things that I have and the people that I have in my life. And so I'm just really grateful to be here. Thank you for asking me to come speak.